What?
Are we ready?
For what?
For the thingy. Should I push the thingy?
Push the button!
Oh, it's a show, yeah. Go!
The following presentation is for mature audiences only. It is not intended for children, the oversensitive, or self-righteous gas bags with sticks up their butts.
This project is extremely dangerous.
It's because I blew it out of the goddamn airlock.
You're listening to the Guardians of the Geekery podcast, featuring Matt Starnslord, Carol the Cat,
I pushed the thingy,
the Kitty Geeker, and Tiffany the Technician.
People assume that time is a strict progression of cause to effect, but actually,
we're
not
the level of wobbly wobbly wobbly
wobbly timey wimey
stuff. Like I just said.
And now,
that sounds like a little liar.
Shot first, the hosts of Guardians of the Geekery.
It's from that Gordon Ramsay
show. Guardians of the Geekery episode 86.
Is that really the number?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. All right. So we are here with Joey Navarro Jr. But before we even let you relax,
does that happen
or say
a lot?
Anything.
Do people call you Navarro?
All the time, Navarro. And then depending on who you ask in the family, I say Navara and they say Navara, and it really doesn't matter.
But... Oh, in your own family. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
And call the whole thing off? We're going to launch right into the rapid-fire response round, even though we're really interrupted. I'm about to ask you a series of 10 questions.
Okay.
You have a brief moment to answer with a word or a phrase. If you don't, we'll answer for you. Typically, those answers include the word stripper pole. So do what you can. Okay.
First,
me. Capes or no capes?
No capes.
What cool new technology do you want to see next? Cool new technology do you want to see next?
Wow, that's a deep question, really.
I want to see YouTube videos that can play when your phone is closed or locked.
Pancakes or waffles?
Pancakes.
Favorite good guy?
Batman.
Favorite bad guy?
Magneto.
What place would you like to travel to see?
Italy.
Who was your favorite teacher?
Ed Burnham is my drawing one teacher in college.
All right. Do you consider yourself a geek, nerd, dork, or something else?
Whatever the one is not smart and just pop culture.
Geek. Would you rather be stuck in a box with rats, spiders, or snakes?
That's a new one.
Oh, snakes, I guess.
Adventures at Hogwarts. Do you bring along Neville, Ron, or Luna?
Box with strippers.
Well, how old am I? Doesn't matter. Luna, if I thought I had a shot with her. Neville, because he's the actual chosen one.
Okay. Do you have a bunker for your banana?
No.
Okay. If you're trapped on a desert island with a tablet with a solar recharger, what would be your number one book that you would take with you? Tablet readable.
Probably the Lord of the Rings trilogy.
What album? Musical album?
Hamilton.
Movie?
Terminator 2.
And game that you can play on a solar tablet?
I don't know.
Stripper poles, it is. All right, you have survived the rapid fire response round. You only have one stripper pole on your life. That is good. So, Joey Navarro Jr., tell us, who the hell are you? What the heck are you doing here?
I am a freelance artist. I went to school for fine arts. Born in Florida, grew up in Charlotte. The first memory I have is watching Star Wars with my family. My dad's a big geek, so we grew up with sci-fi and Arnold movies my entire life. I learned to draw from redrawing my dad's old comics, and this is kind of what I've always knew I was going to do, regardless of money or career or anything, like, was to do comics.
Awesome. And so you just have brought us a copy of your mini comic, is that correct? Is that what you would call that?
Yeah, a mini comic zine, Pursued by a Bear, written by my brother Jackson Navara and drawn by me and edited and lettered and everything else by me, but it's fine, he helped a lot.
So how long did it take you to from, like, start to finish?
Probably 6 months, just because we dragged our feet and we rewrote it several times, and, like, we ended up I hate the Marvel method. I hate it so much in theory. Like, that just doesn't sound fun to me to draw a book and, like, just write whatever words fit into the book. But that's what we ended up doing because I drew the whole book and then realized we needed to restructure so much. So we ended up, like, rewriting a bunch of stuff and being like, well, that line's good, but it doesn't work with the face they're making in this panel. Or this doesn't flow as well. And it was not fun, but I think the finished product is good enough that it was worth it.
Wow. I edited a book one time for a friend of mine, and it was already lettered. And I was like, what the hell can I do with this?
Yeah.
It was Point Pleasant, and it was, you know, about all that stuff. And it was just like, oh my God. And I think we moved one page, and it made a little bit more sense, but it was like so tough because it was lettered. I was like, this is impossible.
Yeah, and lettering is one of the hardest things I had to do because fine art, I oil painting and charcoal drawings. Like, we didn't do anything in Photoshop, and like nothing with comics. I went to UNC Asheville, and they actively hated any kind of illustration or comic or pop culture references. I hated my time there, and I do not recommend it. Lettering is one of those things where
shout out to UNC Asheville.
Yeah, absolutely. I enjoyed my time in the art department at CP a lot better, and their teachers care. Lettering is one of those things where when it's done right, you don't notice it. It's just every comic book has it. When it's done wrong, it's very glaring mistake, and it can ruin a book. So we like went through every font several times of like the whole book. To find one that was okay, not great, but it's fine.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah, I remember back in the day, Todd McFarlane, when he was doing Spawn, he would like those Wizard magazines that were pretty horrible, but. And he would say, he literally would put the comic together, he would throw pages on the ground and assemble his comic book. Ugh. And I was like, wow, that just seemed like really difficult to me. But I have a lot of respect for you for putting this together.
So where did you come up with the concept?
I have the concept credited as John Luke Hall and Andrew Stefanik. Andrew was my boss at my deli job that I had last year. We would dick around at work and like joke about. He wanted me to draw a T-shirt that's like that had a samurai panda cutting the words pandemonium in half. And it like came from that bad pun, and we like that's how we spent our time at work, was like talking about like how cool it would be to do a comic, and I ended up wanting to do it, and he wanted to at first like help write it, and then he got too busy and I took over the main doing it, and I brought my younger brother in who's going to UNCW for writing, and he same you know reference points of growing up with my family and it turned into that. We just wanted to do a fun fantasy adventure comic together.
Awesome.
So are there plans for another comic?
Hopefully it'll be 8 or 9 issues.
Awesome. For those of you not on the visual podcast, because there isn't one, the last page says to be continued, so I showed that to Carol. So.
we'll see how long it takes. It took 6 months to do the first issue, so like the goal is 3 months for the next one. Like, we know what we're doing, we know how to format it, we know who I'm gonna get it printed through, which was RA Comics Direct, which is an online printing website that was pretty, it was like a middle ground for like quality and price. It was like right where I wanted to be.
And I assume you're dispensing with the Marvel method for the next issue.
We are going to get as final of the draft as possible before I finish the comic. That would be ideal.
Do you guys have like a whole like several issues planned where you're gonna plan it out in advance, or kind of just go by issue by issue and see how you feel?
We have an outline for the whole story, and we have beats that we want, and we have ideas that we want, but we want to make sure that the story is more about the characters, and we'll explore themes for each issue. right now we're currently brainstorming, because he's gonna write it, because I can edit his stuff and I can critique it and tell him it's bad, but I can't actually write it, so like he has to do the bulk, the heavy lifting on that part. So yeah, we have an idea, and it just we'll really nail it out each issue, but we know where it's going.
Cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. And your dad must be like so proud of you guys.
Yeah, he's definitely happy. He's such a comic book nerd. He's like, you didn't put the first printing on it, and you didn't date it. And I was like, oh, Dad, I had 1,000 things to do for it. Like, that was his critique of the book. He was like, that he didn't say anything else. He was like, you didn't like how are people supposed to know it's the first printing? And he's like, I'm gonna come over and look through a stack and like try to get some to grade for you. And I was like,
oh my God.
Like, that's how he thinks about it. Very like, but not like he's always, it's weird, it's we don't have the movie scene where it's like follow your dreams, kids. Like, it was just assumed, like our parents never said to like not do anything.
That's awesome.
So, and they are always into art, if not artistic themselves. So it was just something that, like, they're gonna, like, both my parents are gonna support us, whatever we decide to do.
That's really cool. That's a good point that he made, right? Like, I feel like when you wrote your comic book, like, your dad wouldn't have had it. He would have been like, oh, okay.
Well, that's sweet. What are you gonna do for a living?
Yeah. Right, yeah.
He would have gone, you didn't say this is the first print.
That's a nice hobby.
Yeah, I'll be honest, when Steinslord told me that he wrote a comic and we had already been on several dates, and I was like, oh, God. And then he brought them over, and I was like, oh, God. And then I read them, and I'm like, phew,
And then she texted me, and she's like, oh, thank God, his comic book's good.
Yeah. I was very concerned.
Would that have been a deal breaker if it was a bad comic, but he was, like, a good person?
It would have made it more difficult, because I really believe in that. Something that's very attractive to me is somebody who's passionate about something they do. And I'm all about getting behind people with things that they need to do. And I know that we had talked about it before about his, you know, previous marriage. She was not, like, she never read his comics the whole time they were together.
Which was pretty bizarre.
Yeah. For a partner to not, like, even if they don't like it, for them to not read it is weird.
Yeah.
Because that's the first person I bounce ideas off of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like Joan Hartness said that, you know, he knows his wife hasn't read everything because his writing style is not her preferred method. But she has read some stuff. And she's familiar with his work and she supports him. And I think that's different. So, had I not liked it, I don't think I would be as passionate as I am about pushing him to write more.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
And I'm very big about him writing more because I think he's awesome at it. I do.
Or if she had not read them, I would have been like, not doing it.
Yeah, because, you know, I think for us as a second marriage, for both of us, the thing that we both kind of came into the game playing and saying was, you know, if it's either we're matched or we're not, there's none of this settling stuff. Like, I think you do sometimes in your 20s when you're like, oh, if I don't get married now, I'm never going to get married. You know, got to get the first one out of the way. So, you know, I think this time around we're like, hey, if we're going to get hitched up, we know what that involves. We know what that entails. We both had, you know, long-term marriages or several years of marriage behind us for each of us. And it was just like definitely a concern.
Right.
That, you know. Yeah. And I've had people that, like, when they find out that I blog or that I've written songs or music or different things like that, that they're like, oh, I write too, and then they write me this really crappy ballad, and then it's that moment of like, gee, thanks.
Yeah, I've dated a lot of artists, and it's always awkward when one is much better than the other.
Yeah.
You can be different, you can have different fields, and that's fine, or like similar, and you're pushing each other, but when one's just bad and the other isn't, it just becomes this awkward, like, resentment almost.
Well, and compatibility in so many ways. I mean, I'm obviously, well, there's people over our house every week, so we better both like it.
There's
strangers in our house every week for podcasting and other purposes. And wait, that sounded bad.
Purposes.
Hey, not that.
Open after midnight now.
What did I agree to?
As a podcast.
Put your keys in the bowl there, Joey. Put your keys in the bowl.
It may or may not be there, really.
I'm glad you got that 70s reference.
But, you know, we all attend sci-fi conventions to promote the podcast, to promote our various events, and if he was somebody who wasn't behind that would be problematical, because I spend a lot of my life there, so.
Yeah.
More on the story, don't settle, Joey.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
Run, Joey, run.
I don't need to get into a my generation speech, but like, no one my age, or no, I can't say that no one, but like, most of my contemporaries aren't rushing into marriage. We don't care. It's not. You know,
yeah, it's a different cycle.
Different priorities.
Yeah.
For us right now.
But yes, the young ones.
So Heroes Con, you're gonna have the book.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
You've got copies. And you're...
Yeah, I'll be at the book. I'll be at the con.
He'll be in the book. Yeah. Look for him inside the pages.
Very page.
Please
master,
free him.
Page yeah, I'll have. Pop culture prints. I'm doing commissions, and I'll be signing the book, selling it there. My brother will be with me, and he'll get to sign it too.
That's excellent.
We grew up going to cons. I mean, that's like our we've been trained very well at how to act and behave and what to do at cons since babies.
Right.
So it'll be a lot of fun. I'm in a AA53, I believe, is my table.
Cool.
The back wall.
That's AA53.
Yeah.
Like awesome always 53.
Yeah.
Just in case you're wondering.
AA53. Thank you.
For our Braille audience, that would be... No,
that is not even Braille. And that would be Morse code, not Braille. Yay.
I appreciate your attempt at translation, but...
Did I mention that I'm drinking hard apple cider? It's like lovely.
Two sips. That's almost all it takes sometimes.
Than that.
Oh yeah, almost half.
Four sips. Anyway, AA53 for those of you who missed it the first four times.
Okay, and
I heard you're going to be at Heroes Con also, Starnslord.
I am with Davey Beauchamp. He's got art. I've got comics. I'm doing a huge sale, so you can get really. Inexpensive.
Low prices.
We're in AA
1913.
1913. Excellent year for comic books, I think.
Yeah.
But 1913
comics were really hot.
Yeah.
The Archduke Ferdinand comic. I know a World War I reference. Hey,
Jane Austen shows an ankle. 1913.
I think that's actually past Jane Austen.
Yeah, this is a lot past. Yeah.
Dude, leave me alone.
Oh my God.
She's had five sips of cider. Am I pushing the button?
Hey, Joey.
Yes.
Thank you for coming.
Yes.
Oh, wait. So
where do we find you online?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Interwebs.
Everything is Joey Navarro Jr. My Tumblr, my website is Joey Navarro Jr. It's CargoCollective.com/Joey Navarro Jr. But I'm Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, Instagram is all under Joey Navarro Jr. It's NAVARRA.
NAVARRA.
Yes.
I would sign language that, but we're not a visual podcast, so.
No.
And I actually know how to do that. NAVARRA. So there you go. And all right.
Yeah, for those of you who can't see.
Yeah.
I did do it properly. Okay.
We're going to start videotaping these podcasts.
I know.
Hey,
no, Carol.
Separate.
Carol. Hit the button.
I'm hitting the button. I got the right one, too.
Oh, sure.
For more information, go to guardiansofthegeekery.com. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/guardiansofthegeekery and on Twitter at CLTGOG. Music used by Guardians of the Geekery, Lock and Load, and A Day in the Sun by Jens Hillstockton.
Yeah.
Licensed under Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International.